Hello, it's Tom here, and welcome to the latest episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Today's guest is the brilliant Lou Conran. For a full, unedited episode, it's about an hour and a half, the full episode, loads of other topics, loads of other objects, head over to patreon.com/toasterpod. In the meantime, enjoy the app.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Welcome along to My Mate Bought a Toaster. My guest this week is fabulous comedian and podcaster, Lou Conran. Lou Conran, thank you for agreeing to do this. I mean, we don't know each other very well at all, so you're an idiot. What are you thinking?
Well, do you know what? I'm very lonely and I don't really talk to many people other than my partner, and that's enough for me. So it's nice to have a fresh voice to communicate with.
Yes, it was either a dog or a cat or a very invasive podcast, and I'm glad you chose the latter to help.
Yes, I mean, I don't mind dogs. I don't want to pick up what they leave behind. I cannot bear cats. And communication with another human being, which I'm assuming you are, is preferable.
Yes. So. Yes, I'm real. I can confirm I'm not a bot, which I've just had to do as I've hacked into your Amazon. And I'm now sitting here at my desk. This is a remote recording this week, folks. So Lou is, where are you again? Staffordshire, Lou, right?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
And I am somewhere in my bunker in London town, and I'm in Lou Conran's Amazon. Lou, are you ready? Here we go.
No, I'm not ready. Okay.
Bloody hell. In terms of triggering people who like a Twitter argument, you've got the first two things you bought. So January 2003, Lou, which is nearly 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm so old.
And the first two things you've bought, which do pop up quite a lot on the show and often reduce my guests to hand-wringing and, oh, God, can I still like these people? You've gone Woody Allen, J.K. Rowling. Nice and easy peasy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Keeping it real.
Yeah, man.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. What was the Woody Allen thing I bought?
So you bought two Woody Allen DVDs, Bananas from 1971 and Take the Money and Run from 1968, which I think might be one of his first. I think that's him doing stand-up. I'm clicking on that, by the way. It's his debut.
Why would I have bought that?
Oh, no, it's a crime movie spoof. Take the Money and Run. So you've double dipped on Woody Allen. Would you like to, 20 years later, explain why?
No, I have absolutely no idea. Where was I in 2003?
Oh, well, I can see your address. If this helps, I can actually... Your address...
Yes, please. Manchester?
Hi, Wycombe. Hi, Wycombe.
Oh, gosh, that would have been... Yeah, maybe I would have still been with my then boyfriend, Nobrot Scott. Yeah, maybe. I mean, you can imagine why.
Did you call him Nobrot Scott to his face, or was this sort of right? Okay.
No, God, no. Yeah, no. He was, let's say, hygienically challenged.
Oh my God, is that what he was called in his local GP surgery when he booked in? Oh God,
probably
Nobrot Scott.
I think
that one. I mean, I'm happy to jump into this topic, but I think one's hygiene, and I'm not necessarily talking about groinal hygiene, but I think one's hygiene improves with age. I think I stunk until I was about maybe 21, 22. And it's not just blokes. It's just, I don't know. Hygiene's got better with age.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes, I'd like to think so. I think because you give less of a shit when you're younger because you're busy getting mashed off your face with your mates, aren't you? And then it's not until somebody suggests a bit later on in life, do you know what, maybe you should do something about that. that I think, yeah, you sort of take more pride in yourself when you get older, don't you?
Guys, I mean, yeah, maybe it's just like you finally get round to it. Maybe it's just on your list of things to do, must clean balls. And eventually by your 30s, you're like, oh, do you know what, I must get those cleaned.
Yeah, I, you know, in his defence, he had quite bad depression.
Okay.
And I think, yes, I think that had a lot to do with it. Mm. Plus the fact he was a massive stoner. Mm. Plus the fact he was with me. So I think all of those things combined potentially would have, the poor guy, And then as soon as I dumped him, he then went out with somebody else and he got married, I think, and had children. So he must have improved in certain areas, yeah.
Big shout out to Nobrot Scott, if you are listening. Interesting that you bought Harry Potter here on Amazon, because at that point, I remember I was just going out with my now wife at that point. And sexy times. And it was this one that she queued to buy. And I was very early doors in the relationship. And I was like, oh, geez, she's a sort of person who wears a wizard's hat and queues outside Waterstones at midnight to buy Order of the Phoenix Harry Potter. And I was a bit unsure because there is a cachet that comes with being a massive fan, isn't there?
Yes. Now, I don't wear the outfits. Unless it's role play weekend. So I didn't queue up at midnight to go and buy the book. I think I pre-ordered, actually.
Do you remember that thing? There was the speed readers. Do you remember this sort of came about when the Harry Potter books came out? People would rush home and try and read the whole books, which were enormous, in sort of 5 hours or something, so they could be the first ones to put reviews out there.
Yeah, silly. What are you doing? Doing? I'm a very slow reader, which is why I probably just gave up on reading until these books came along.
What is a good reading duration for you? If you sit and read a book and you're like, Christ, I've read this book for half an hour. Is that impressive? Or are you like what's a good number?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here we go. Let me set the scene. If I'm going to read a book, I will be on a sunbed in a hot country.
Come on.
I'll have a lager by my side. I will have the smell of the coconut oil burning my skin. I will be by the sea or by an equally beautiful swimming pool. There'll be no children around.
No.
I will be ensconced into a book for the duration of while I'm laying down burning. That's typically when I will read a book.
What an image. But that does explain why you so rarely read, because it's hard living in Britain to make those things come together.
Yes, I think because my brain is just I could always be doing something else. I don't have the capacity, or I didn't when I was younger, but probably it's improved now. But I have to be really hooked in immediately to retain any form of attention.
Yes, I completely agree. But you're right. I think attention spans get better as we get older, because much like with personal hygiene, everything gets better with age. I think when you're younger, you're more excited to go and try things out. And then when you're old, you're jaded and like, well, I tried the things out and they were quite disappointing.
Yeah, so I'd agree with that.
Okay, well, we're inching into 2005 now. You've bought a present for Michael Conran only on his birthday, though. That's the address that you've put here, which I
approve. Oh, Daddy!
That's nice.
Yeah. Did I buy him?
You bought him The Geology of Britain and The Algebrist by Ian M. Banks. Dad books! That's dick lit right there.
Oh, that's a daughter that doesn't know what the fuck to buy her dad. Oh, let's buy him a book about rock formations and the world. Basically.
It's amazing. The Geology of Britain, I mean, that is... Wow, this text covers the geological history of Britain from over 2,000 million years ago to the present day.
Boring! Oh, my poor dad.
And
my
He has to read it. He wanted Harry Potter. He just wanted Harry Potter, Lou, for goodness
sake. Yeah, or something porn-related, because that's what old men do, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah, you can't buy your dad porn, though, can you? Because that's bad.
No, it's
that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
It's frowned upon. Although this is a deep family secret from the Price family here, Lou. My auntie once found porn in my 90-year-old grandfather's wardrobe.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
Oh, but then could you? Is it like, was it up to date porn, or was it like those Victoriana pictures, you know, of like old ladies in corsets? Because there's something quite beautiful about that, I think. Obviously, not with a minge out, but it's like, can I say minge? Sorry. But,
yes, you're encouraged to say
Yeah. Oh, God, dirty granddad.
Dirty granddad. But back in the day when you'd have a stash, now it's all hidden in cookies and the cloud and hard drives, you know. Back then, you had to have a little old shoe box in the wardrobe. And I don't know.
Oh.
Do you know what, Lou? I never asked. It didn't feel like the question when my Auntie Jane was going, oh my God, it didn't feel like a good question for me to say, what was he into? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you know what? When I was going out with Nobrot Scott, he used to look at the porn magazines quite a lot.
Yes.
And at the time I found them, and I probably still do, found them massively offensive. Mm. So I said to him, you need to get rid of those magazines. And he promised me that he would. Mm. And then around this, I don't know, around that period, I'd got new headshots for my acting. And when he went to work one day, this is very naughty, but fuck it. I went through his things and I found his stash of magazines that he told me that he'd got rid of. So what I did was I cut my face out of my new headshots. You used to have like piles of 10x8s then. Cut my face out and I stuck them on the faces of the woman in these magazines. But I couldn't tell him that I'd found them, and he couldn't tell me that he'd found the pictures with my face on because he'd told me he'd got rid of them.
So it was never discussed. It was never discussed.
Oh, well, I came home from work one day and he was puce. He was like fucking like livid. He'd got off work early that day and they'd gone home and I'd gone in the house and he was fucking steaming.
Wow.
But he couldn't tell me why. But I knew, and so it was never discussed. But he knew that I knew, and I knew that he knew that I knew.
That sounds like a really functional relationship. I'm amazed that that ended. Yeah. I'm amazed that ended.
So am I.
Wow.
Gosh.
Wow. I tell you what would be really uncomfortable is if he's still got those grot mags and his current wife finds them and thinks he's put the pictures of you in the grot mags. That's going to be tricky.
Oh, God. Yeah. I probably did get a picture of his mum and put one of her on one of them as well.
Oh, that's delightful.
I'd hate to think that he'd be like pleasuring himself and then flick over for the final finale.
Oh, wow.
And then there was his mother there. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't just, lie to me. All right.
There you are.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Quite literally.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Wow, what a place the podcast has gone, Lou. This is excellent. This is good.
I'm so sorry. It always does with me, and I try not to.
Oh, this is what we like. Sometimes you gotta spice up your life in the bedroom. How about you go online and buy a sexy costume? Love it at this age doesn't have to be doom and gloom. Oh, it's time you felt so fine, you buy a sexy costume. June 2010, the Dukan diet. The French medical solution for permanent weight loss. And there's a picture of a very Parisian-looking lady next to the Eiffel Tower, just to make it clear that she's French.
Yeah. Well, now then. So, I met a woman many years ago who I became friendly with, and she was a little bit tubsy, like myself. And then I didn't see her for about a year, and then the next time I saw her, she was a stick. And I was like, how did you do this? Tell me your secret. And she said, it's the Dukan diet. So I was like, what? So I bought the book. And as you can see, I never read it because I got bored after page one. So I've got so many books that I've never read because I'm not on a beach. Mm. So, yeah. Mm. I think it's like a bit Atkins-y. Dr. Atkins. You know that one where they just eat meat and... Mm. You stink. I think that's everything
backs up, I think. Do you want to have a listen to this? The Dukan diet by Pierre Dukan, which it says on here, and this is from 2010, 5 million French people can't be wrong, which is obviously written before over 5 million French people voted for Marine Le Pen. But we'll gloss over that. Step one, attack. For 2 to 7 days, eat as much as you want of 72 protein-rich foods.
Fucking hell. Right, okay.
Fill your boots.
I never knew that there were 72 protein-rich foods.
You know.
Well.
If you'd got to page two.
I didn't.
Pages 2 through 90 are just a list of protein-rich foods.
Fuck off, are they?
I think, and then, step two. This is hilarious. Step two is cruise.
What's that?
Exactly. Find yourself a little meet-up point. Continue eating the protein-rich foods with the addition of 28 vegetables. I didn't even know there are 28 vegetables.
Well, let's try and list them, shall we?
Could you name more than seven vegetables?
Right, here we go. Carrot, potato, runner bean, courgette, aubergine, Brussels sprout.
Yeah. Six. Peas. Leap. Seven.
Peas. Eight. Leeks.
Sweet corn. Nine. Beetroot, is that a vegetable? 10.
Oh, yeah, you can shove that up your hairy hole. Absolutely. No. I mean, we've got 10, haven't we?
We've got to 10, but I'm struggling. Beetroot makes your wee go red. It's not good.
It's sent by the devil. Exactly. I can't. No, not for me.
Yeah. Any food that makes your wee go funny, asparagus and beetroot are nature's practical joke.
Oh, I love asparagus. Dip it in an egg.
Oh. Delicious, but you forget you've had it, and then you go for a wee a couple of hours later, and you're like, oh, what is...
Yeah, you think you're rotting from the inside out. Yeah.
Well, you think you're knob rot Scott. Maybe he was just an asparagus.
Yeah, dipping his willy in an egg.
That's what it was. Step three, consolidation. Add fruit, bread, cheese and starchy foods. Step four, stabilization. Eat what you like without regaining weight by following three simple rules, including the famous Protein Thursdays. This is fucking bollocks.
Protein Thursdays?
It sounds rude.
Oh, yes. So... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I did see this friend about another 18 months after I saw her when she was thin.
Yeah. Go on.
We all know the answer, don't we?
We don't need to say, because it's going to sound mean.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave a little pause there.
Yeah.
You've gone shopping for your dad again. And we'll just check in with this every year, Lou.
Yeah. Michael
Conran, only on his birthday, though. A Short History of England, Simon Jenkins.
Oh.
So... there you go. He knows about the rocks of England. Now he's going to find out about the kings and queens of England.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm really desperate here, aren't I? What the hell do you buy your father? Because it's so hard to buy presents for men. It really is.
The past. That's the theme with your dad.
Because they love dwelling on that, don't they? They love dwelling on that.
Because it is safe and boxed, and you can put the past in some pages, whereas the present is... unruly and worrying.
That's true. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Dad. That's awful. Rocks in England. Oh, poor bastard.
Do you think he's there every November? He's like, I just want 50 Shades of Grey. That's all I want.
Oh, I've probably bought that as well.
Oh, yeah.
When did that come out?
2011, found out.
Oh, have I?
Yeah, you got that. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Come on.
Moving on into 2013, Lou Conran. And by this stage, 2013, you are living where, please? And you are gigging everywhere, I assume, at this point?
I had moved to Brighton.
Ooh.
Then I moved back to Manchester. So, yeah, 2013, I was in Manchester.
You do like a move, don't you? Because we've had High Wycombe.
You're in
Staffordshire now. You're a mover.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's like the focus and the attention. I get bored very easily. But now I've purchased a house with a gentleman caller. The only way I can move now is to different rooms. I can't move again.
Yes.
So, and he's been quite a mover as well. So now we've sort of like, oh gosh, we're gonna have to just swap rooms in the house if we feel a bit itchy, you know.
I tell you what, when my wife and I first lived in a house together before we had kids, we had our own bedrooms and we slept together every night, but like we had our own bedrooms. It was quite nice to have that sort of space and that identity bit, you know.
I have insisted on the same, Tom.
Yes, it's a good arrangement.
I like my, but yeah, well, because I've been on my own for so long before he came into my life. And I like that sense of I just sometimes just like to sit and be. And he's very enthusiastic and he's like a dog. So he would be with me or by my side 24 hours a day if I would let him, but I don't.
No.
And when we first got together, I used to say to him, you need to go home now. And I need to have some days on my own. And then we bought the house together and I was like, I'm going to have my own room.
Yes.
So I had resigned myself to the fact that I was going to be on my own forever. And I was very, very happy with that. I'd been through lots of ups and downs and around the houses and blah, blah, blah. And I'd reached a point of self-satisfaction and happiness and inner peace.
Yes.
And then bang, 3 months later, there he is.
That dickhead rocks up. And here you are now,
God,
and you've got a dog in the kennel in the garden right now. It's unbelievable.
I do keep him in the garden, actually. Yes. It's, scratching away.
It's fine. Yeah. Let him out for Christmas. Just 2015 now. We're buying toothbrush heads. We are buying The Girl on the Train. We are dancing. Hey, this is good. We are buying Dancing with the Juggler, 13 Moons with the Tarot, and Natural Magic. Ooh. Wow. Hello. Yeah.
So, here we go. So, I'm from a family of weirdos, so hence my interest of magic and stuff like that. So there are, whether you believe in it or not, fine, but there are mystical people in my family. I got taught the tarot by a white witch who wrote this book. I swapped this book the first time I bought it for a tattoo many moons ago. In exchange for a tattoo, I gave the tattooist a tarot reading and I lent her this book and I got a tattoo. And then I never got the book back. And that was like a million years ago.
And to be fair, you've got the receipt for the book very much on your skin.
Yes, I have. So then I decided to try and find the book again because the lady died that wrote it. It's fascinating.
Claire Townsend. There we are. That's who wrote the book. What was the tattoo like? Was it worth it? Was it worth losing the book for first of all?
Oh, it's a classic first tattoo. It was... this was the second tattoo. Hang on. I got some tarot symbols tattooed on my arse.
Okay.
Because I wanted a tattoo, but I didn't want to regret it when I was older. So I thought if I put it on a place that I can't see it, then that's fine.
Wow.
So it's like, I think I've got a star and a moon on my arse.
Has to be a moon. There has to be a moon, of course.
Yeah.
I've got so many questions. So tell me about having people in your family who are mystical. I want to know more about that.
So my mother talks to the dead. My nan used to talk to the dead, but is now dead and talking to my mother. I have had experiences of that myself. My other nan had it as well. So it was sort of like this mediumistic kind of thing. But obviously, if you don't believe it, you have to kind of logically think of reasons why this is happening to people and why things do happen. But then me and him have moved into this house and we get ghosty things happening here all the time.
What? So hang on. So what's been the most striking medium moment that you've had? Does it just sort of arrive in your head?
Well, ever since I was little, I'd always be able to hear people talking and things going missing and reappearing and stuff like that, which is, that makes me sound like I'm bonkers. But then I kind of ignored it because I was terrified of it. Yeah. And then I had a period where I kept finding dead people.
Oh, wow.
So it was, So I kept just like, oh, God, there's another one. Just found this dead person. Oh, God, there's another. And it was like in a period of about 3 or 4 months where I just, every month I'd find another dead person.
No.
So then this was...
Are the people you knew or just random...
No, just random strangers.
This is like a sort of Lou Conran version of The Sixth Sense. I find dead people.
And then my mum... I was saying to my mum, like, I don't understand why this is happening and blah, blah, blah. And then she went, you need to come with me. And there is a college in... near Stansted that's like Hogwarts for adults, basically. And it's a college that runs all year round and it's for people, weirdos like me and my mum, where you can go and be with other weirdos and practice your skills.
This is incredible. And how often do you go there, or did you just go there once to sort of check in and learn some stuff?
I went quite a few times, but it's very expensive. They really do milk it. Mm. It went from a fascinating kind of joyous experience where I used to have to sleep with the light on because I was terrified of the dark because of things coming in and talking to me. And then I went and had a week at this college, and then everything was answered. Everything was like, oh, okay. And my life just went, ta-da.
Wow.
But then it was a money-making scheme. I think it got taken over by some different people, and now it's just ridiculous.
And so, now there's a Costa Coffee and reception and...
Yeah, probably, yeah.
This place has changed.
Yeah, probably. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
this
yeah,
is weird.
Yeah.
It's like a Virgin Active psychic farm. No.
Yeah, yeah. But when I went, the one of my friends, the Dukan Diet woman, I met her there.
Okay.
And then another friend of mine, Mare, the psychic scouse wife, she went to the college once and witnessed a man taking a horse through reception up to his bedroom. So a real horse.
Right, I was going to say, was this in real life or
a
haunting?
Yeah.
That was in real life, actually, physically.
Yeah, yeah. And then the people at reception had to go and remove the man and the horse because he had psychological problems. And
he just wasn't
actually,
stable. Come on!
Guys!
Yeah. Lou, this is absolutely fucking fascinating.
Mm.
Does it feel like a weight on your shoulders type vibes? Are you like, oh my God, or is it a thing you enjoy and celebrate and own now? Do you know what I mean? Or has it been, it must have been a cause of stress for you over the years?
When I before I acknowledged what it was, I knew what it was, but I didn't want to believe what it was.
Mm.
Then it used to cause me a lot of stress. But now, like as I said, we've moved into this house and lots of things are happening, and we quite enjoy it now. So, like the other day, the gentleman caller was doing some DIY in one of the rooms, and he came down and he went, "I don't think we're on our own. There's definitely stuff happening here." And I was like, and then we in bed that night, he was like, "Oh God, what do we do?" And I was like, "Well, if there is somebody that wants to communicate with you, they'll switch the telly on." And then 10 seconds later, telly comes on.
No.
So, yeah, and then he's had all sorts of, well, he was doing the house up, the fire in the kitchen came on its own, and things have just been, so once you acknowledge that it's not scary, and it's, we love it.
Yeah.
I mean, we do sound like weirdos. The neighbours must think, God, who are they asking to talk to? Because sometimes we just sit here and we go, hello, who's there? Who wants to talk to us? And then we get like tappings on the wall. So unless it's the neighbours going, you're weird, stop it. But,
God, yeah. I bet your gentleman caller is glad that he sleeps out in the kennel.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes when it rains, I bring him in and I put him in the cellar.
That's what the tapping is.
Oh shit, of course it is.
You need to speak to Yvette Fielding because she's been on this podcast and I think she lives around that way.
I have spoken to Yvette Fielding her on my podcast.
There you
and
go.
Me and Sally Ann Hayward have been to her house.
Yes.
And we have done a seance in her shed.
As a podcast or yes. Just, is it on a podcast?
No, just as... No. We just we went round for cups of tea and cake and ended up in the shed doing seancey things, which was brilliant.
This is good. Mm. Oh, this is good stuff, Lou. Yeah. This is good stuff. All right. Okay. 2016 then. Let's move back onto this earthly plane and find out what else you've been buying. The Chimp Paradox. I've read that. Absolutely love that. One of the few self-help books.
Read it.
Oh, mate.
It's in my cupboard now and I'm staring at it. Never read it.
Will you do me a favour? Yeah. Will you do me a favour? Will you please go and read it? Because it really helped me a lot.
Right.
Really, really, really.
Okay.
Really
I will read. I will get it out and I will...
Yes. Look at it. God, read the back. Just read the back.
Okay.
Let's jump on ahead now. All right, Lou, and see what else we find. 20th of February 2018, you bought the Naughty Rude Design Inflatable Blow Up Man.
Of course I did.
So you weren't alone, Lou. You weren't alone.
Now then. Mm-hmm. I bought that.
Yes.
Where was I? I was in Australia at the time when I bought that.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it? No, I wasn't. Yes, I was. Yes.
Okay.
No, was I? Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes, I was in Australia. Yes. And I had been asked to do a show where you, was a singing show where you're taking the piss out of musicals and stuff. And Harriet Dyer was with me and a lady called Kate McCabe. Yeah. And we were getting ready to practice a song and a dance routine from Chicago.
Oh, wonderful.
And I had the great idea that we should get blow-up men and dance with them.
Brilliant. Because what you're doing there is you're getting a blow-up man that's also tax deductible for when you take it home. So you are...
Thank you.
It's beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems very nice. He's got a love... Oh, look, he's been withdrawn from Amazon. I can't actually see the item anymore. It's gone.
Oh, has he? I think he was called Mustafa. I all three of us got our own different versions of Mustafa. Uh-huh. And my Mustafa was lovely. He was very flexible and quite short.
Okay.
But it's the personality that counts. And Mustafa had a huge... Mm-hmm. personality.
Okay. And crucially, personal hygiene standards there, were they?
Great.
Excellent.
Very, very
you see?
Clean, easy, easy clean, wet wipeable, just...
You see?
Yeah.
Once again,
lovely.
We see, mm-hmm. Lou, in your life, an arc of improvement.
Yes!
Things are getting better because now the genitals are clean. And that is...
Brilliant.
Good God, this is nothing you can take from this. It's that you've got a blow-up doll with clean genitals.
Clean.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Powder puff your balls. Come on now.
Come on. Just a bit of talc.
Oh, mama made me butter toaster. Riding online shops just like a roller coaster. Oh, don't it feel so fine when you're buying all of these strange things online, like books, weight sets, and posters. Come on here, the best of the best of my mate, but a toaster.
A few more things in 2018. What else have we got here? Fiesta 2017 driver's side wing mirror cover in vision blue.
Some bastard clipped my wing mirror in Watlington, Oxfordshire, as I was driving through. It's a very thin lane, and it wasn't my fault at all. Ugh. And it wasn't my fault, she says, and somebody got too near to me and clipped my wing mirror off, and I was, furious it was.
I'm always shocked when wing mirrors make contact. It's quite unnerving. I've done it a few times. I did it a lot in Oxfordshire when I was driving around there in my big... No. and it's always quite a surprise because you're like, oh, Christ. And it folds in. Usually they bend in, but they didn't used to bend in the wing mirror. They used to be rigid and that caused all sorts of carnage, Lou.
Yes. It's like being touched on the tube, isn't it? Like when you brush up against somebody and, it's... I don't know why I've thought of that, but there you go. But that's the image that I've got. It's like when you brush up against someone and you're like, oh, get off me.
Do you know what I did twice yesterday? It's so funny you should say that. Twice on the tube, I accidentally touched a man's hand. Two different men. Walking along, just maybe I've got big flappy hands, and I just sort of brushed.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was weird. It felt very wrong. And we all sort of looked
maybe
at each
you just
other.
Need some human contact. Maybe that's what. Maybe just touch your own hands in a kind of petting fashion.
That's why God gave us two hands, so you can hold hands with yourself.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. Yeah.
Well, look at this. 11th of October, a lovely classic three hooks latex waist trainer workout corset. Lovely.
Now then,
my mate bought a corset. Hello.
Right. Can I just say for the listener that this is not a sexy corset.
Okay.
This is an old lady's industrial. Do you know what it was?
Yeah.
I talked about this in my Edinburgh show this year.
Yeah.
The fact is that obviously there's been some diet issues. Mm-hmm. I love food.
Yeah.
I am a keen eater. I resent the fact that I should have to go on a diet to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I bought an industrial corset because I thought if I wore that, it would squash everything inside and it would stop me eating.
Oh, yes. And?
Yeah, it took me most of a day to get the thing on because it's like hook and eye.
Oh.
It's a hook and eye thing.
God.
And it was... And I was on my own in the house. And if anybody had witnessed that, I looked like my own version of Fight Club. It was ridiculous. And then eventually I got the thing done up and I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It'd taken me most of the afternoon and I looked at the time and I was running late for a gig. and I couldn't get the thing off. So I had to...
That is a panic attack. That is a claustrophobia panic attack right there. You basically embody prison.
Yes. And I had to drive over the M62, which is a very dangerous motorway because it's the highest motorway in the country, apparently. But because I've got big tits, the corset made me sit up rigid and my tits were just below my nose and I couldn't breathe my lips went blue and I arrived at this gig practically dead. And then a man in the car park walked past me as I was trying to pick the hook and eye system off with an ice scraper. And it was one of the most humiliating experiences of my entire life.
And that's how you met your gentleman caller.
Oh my God. Just awful.
That is hilarious. So there's a man in a car park. There's a lady who seems to be suffocating in her own tits.
Yes. I he must have thought I was having a fight with like the Mitchell brothers or like with them. Or I had really big cheeks or something. And then with blue, my lips, it was just so embarrassing. And I thought, do you know what? This is no way to die, is it? Imagine if I'd have been found dead in a corset. Yeah.
And you wonder why generations of women went absolutely stir crazy because of the things they were expected to do. Women put those on for centuries. They're horrific.
Oh,
horrific.
God. Yeah, but what I... Afterwards, instantly, see, this is... I don't do the research before. I just plough on into these things. But of apparently course.
Hence why you're on this show, Lou. Exactly. If you've done any research, you'd never have agreed to this.
you're supposed to do corset training. So you're supposed to put it on for 5 minutes. Day 2, 10 minutes, and then increase up. But of course, it took me that long to get the fucking thing on, and I had it on for hours. And
corset training. That's incredible. Forget going to your psychic school. I want to go to the corset training college.
Yes. Yeah, there must be one in Paris.
This is nice. Look at this. Oh, you've bought I Fucking Love You, a romantic tea coffee mug. And I think you might have bought that for your gentleman caller.
Yes, I did. I fucking love you. He's very romantic and I am not. And so I wanted to show him that I loved him, but in the only way that I know how, with a cup of tea and a very to the point on brand message. I fucking love you.
And the swear words.
Yes.
That's just fucking, I'm so glad there's a happy ending.
Yes.
Because you do this podcast and sometimes you don't know what's going to come towards the end, but look, you've got this guy and you obviously seem happy and he lives in a kennel, but you can see, and this is the final item you've bought on the show today, Lou. This is the final thing. And this tells us where you're at with him now. 25th of October. Get off cat and dog gel crystals. It's to keep him off, isn't it?
Don't get me started on the cat shits. Oh, my God. Oh, it drives me insane.
Oh, so it's not for him?
No.
Then. Okay, all right, fine.
One of the reasons I can't stand fucking cats, because in our old house, when I moved him into my old house to live in the back garden there, this cat had a vendetta against us and shat so much in our front garden that I put cocktail sticks down to stop it, but it shat.
Like you do with pigeons.
Yes, it shat on the sticks and it shat on the citrine candles. It shat everywhere. It shat on the bonnet of my car. It shat by the side of my car. It shat, and we thought, RIP the cat, because somebody had run over a cat on the road. And I was, I'm sorry, I was secretly pleased. And then, 2 weeks later, do you know what? He's got this photograph of it. He came home from work one day, I was away, and there was a big cat shit on the mat by the front door.
Oh.
I'm back. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that why you moved? Was that the last place? Was that where you live now?
Yeah. And do you know now? Fucking... this cat has had a word with a cat that lives down our new road.
They have a cat internet. They stay in touch.
Yeah, they do. Meow, meow, meow. Fucking, ooh, yeah. Hence the get off.
The thing to do is to it's another reason to leave your gentleman caller in the garden and just leave him barking, and it'll keep the cats away.
No, he just needs to go piss everywhere outside. That's what he needs to do. Mark his territory. Yes.
Yeah. You can stay indoors and talk to the dead. Listen, Lou Coran, this has been a wonderful romp through your life. Do you feel like you've learnt anything?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of money on a lot of shit. Which I've never read or never used or used once. So I need to really have a word with myself about the wastage.
Talking of wastage, the corset is just, I mean, it's just extraordinary. This item of torture that you've bought yourself. That's a one-off thing.
Yeah, and I did it in my Edinburgh show this year, and I wore it every day during the show. Just for a 2-second reveal. So I wore it every day. And did I lose weight? Did I fuck?
Yeah, and you've now got a seriously reduced liver and kidney function because they've been squashed to a paste.
Yeah, basically.
Lou Conran, foie grasing herself in Edinburgh. I love it.
Oh, dear.
Thank you for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. It was so, so good of you to give me your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, I've loved it. Thank you for having me.
And how can people find you? Tell us about your podcast and your Twitter and all the bits, please.
My podcast is called Spit or Swallow, and it is with Sally Ann Hayward and myself, who is a brilliant comedian. And you can find that at any place where you get your podcasts, Spit or Swallow podcast. And you can find me on the social medias at Lou Conran, and that's on Twitter and your Instagram. And I think I'm on the TikTok now.
Oh, no.
I know, because that's apparently what you have to do. So tedious, but it's generally at Lou Conran, and okay. I'm please like me, so I'm needy.
And you're not on the cat social media, to be clear. You're not communicating with the cats.
Not communicating with the cats. No. Get off!
Right, thanks. I'll leave you to deal with your pest problem. Thank you, Lou Conran, for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Thanks for having me.
Hooray! Oh, well, thanks, loves. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. Don't forget to support the podcast by telling your friends, giving us a nice rating and review and all those bits and bobs. And if you really want to be an ultra super duper fan, then head over to patreon.com/toasterpod. There is a full, as I said at the beginning, unedited 1.5 hours of me and Lou talking about all sorts of stuff. That's up there now. patreon.com/toasterpod. Also, there is an interview, a video interview that I've done with a very, very brilliant psychologist talking about all the themes and the deep psychological goings-on of what's happening when we are buying this stuff on Amazon. It's really, really interesting. She's called Rachel Taylor, and that episode in fine video form is available now at patreon.com/toasterpod. For as little as £3 a month, you can support the podcast. See you next week.
It's my mate, oh, toaster. Oh, it's my mate, oh.